Hello, this is Sharon, and welcome to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. We will begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled Children's Health, Play Saving Smiles. Delta Dental Show entertains, teaches Stevenson kids about healthy teeth. Land of Smiles, a fun interactive play about dental health, entertained and taught students Tuesday at Stevenson Elementary School. The play centers around characters like Captain Super Grin, played by Deshaun Goodwin, and Terry Tooth Fairy, Toothpick, and nemesis Kaz Cavity, all played by Jala Walker. I play Captain Super Grin. I am the superhero. I am going to go through different parts of the show trying to figure out how I can defeat my arch nemesis, Kaz Cavity, said Goodwin. Delta Dental of Illinois Foundation brought the traveling show to kindergartners and first and second graders in the gymnasium of the school located at 2106 Arrowhead Drive in Bloomington. It is the first of four local schools who will participate in the play. Goodwin and Walker work for a company called the National Theater for Children, which partners with Delta Dental to produce the show. Walker detailed her characters playing the supervillain as well as all of the side characters. All the students, they usually go crazy seeing Kaz Cavity do the floss dance, and everyone usually stands up and does it with her, Walker said, with a smile. And during their performance, one student did get up to do the floss dance. The actors enjoy giving children a fun version to be educated and also giving them something to remember instead of giving them straightforward information, making it memorable, said Goodwin. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention identify tooth decay as the most common chronic childhood disease affecting children, with 20% of Illinois children ages 5 to 11 experiencing at least one untreated cavity, Delta Dental said in a news release. The Land of Smiles program is offered twice a year in partnership with Illinois elementary schools to teach children about nutrition, oral hygiene, and regular dental checkups. Goodwin and Walker have been doing this show for about 4 weeks, usually performing four shows a day. Walker noted that although they typically perform locally, they have been traveling as far as an hour away for the show so far. This year marks Goodwin's first year with the show, but Walker said this is her fourth year being with this show. Following the show, every student in attendance receives a free oral health kit with a toothbrush, toothpaste, floss, and oral health tips outlining how students should take care of their teeth. The program has reached over 677,477 students at more than 1,096 Illinois elementary schools for the past 17 years. This spring, the program will reach nearly 30,000 pre-kindergarten through third grade students at 138 schools. After Stevenson, the Land of Smiles will also visit Glen Elementary School, 306 Glen Avenue in Normal, today, Cedar Ridge Elementary School at 2808 Breezewood Boulevard in Bloomington on Thursday, and Irving Elementary School at 602 West Jackson Street in Bloomington, also on Thursday. Today's Flick Fact Question. Normal's Uptown Station, opening in the summer of 2012, took up an area that had been the location of three popular pubs and nightclubs. Can you name those three that were razed to make way for the multimodal transportation center? And the answer is Shanigans, Rockies, and the Gallery. The town paid $800,000 to Cup Chang, a legendary Bloomington Normal entrepreneur who owned those three nightclubs and was instrumental in several other Bloomington Normal projects, such as Mother Murphy's and the Lafayette Club, while also one of the creators of the Sugar Creek Arts Festival. Chang died in 2024. From the back pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies Locally. 100 years ago, February 18, 1926, Bloomington will not find it necessary to borrow this spring. Delay in completing the tax books and collecting from taxpayers means there will be no funds available to municipalities until well into March and April. The Evergreen City can get through without applying to the bank. 75 years ago, on February 18, 1951, that white shirt of yours with the frayed collar and cuffs would make a good hospital gown for wounded American soldiers in Korea. So don't throw it away. Donate it to the Salvation Army. 50 years ago, on February 18, 1976, ground will be broken for new Illinois American Legion State Headquarters on February 22nd. The building, which will cost an estimated $466,577, will be at the northwest corner of Lincoln Street and Arcadia Drive. And 25 years ago today, February 18, 2001, when it comes to growth and parking problems, the candidates running in the February 27th primary election for Normal City Council are in agreement. They disagree, however, on how to finance the recently unveiled downtown revitalization project and how the town should deal with Illinois Power on its controversial tree trimming plan. Candidates were asked for their views on four issues: growth, parking, particularly around the Illinois State University campus, tree trimming, and downtown redevelopment. In a questionnaire recently sent to the seven candidates, incumbents Cheryl Gaines, Glenn Gordon, and Lucille Miller, and newcomers Robert Bradley, Chris Kuz, Adam Nielsen, and Randy Schaub. Robertson murder trial begins. The jury trial for an Ellsworth woman accused of killing her husband began Tuesday in McLean County. Desiree A. Robertson, 42, is charged with four counts of first-degree murder in the shooting death of 41-year-old Daniel J. Shelby, who died Wednesday, January 10, 2024, in their home. She appeared Tuesday morning before Judge Don Knapp, and the trial began with jury selection. By noon Tuesday, jury selection continued with Assistant State's Attorney David Rossi questioning the potential jurors. After he finishes, Assistant Public Defender Mackenzie Frizzle, who is representing Robertson, will take her turn questioning those called for jury duty in this case. Court officials have said this trial is expected to last about a week. Robertson is accused of killing Shelby after confronting him with accusations of adultery, prosecutors previously said. She called 911 just before 8 a.m. on January 10th to report she had shot her husband in the face, former Assistant State's Attorney Emily Young said when Robertson made her first court appearance 2 years ago. McLean County deputies were dispatched, and upon arrival, they found him dead on the floor of their bedroom. McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder said Shelby died from multiple gunshot wounds. One of those injuries had caused by a gun fired at close range, prosecutors previously said. In her initial hearing in 2024, prosecutors said Robertson told investigators she and Shelby had argued the night before the shooting, and she had waited until he was asleep to look through his text messages. She told police when she confronted him the next morning, Shelby had grabbed her by the neck, and they struggled until she grabbed a gun from under the pillow. Prosecutors said Robertson had been able to escape his grasp, but did not leave the bedroom. Instead, she stood at the foot of the bed and shot him. During her initial hearing, First Assistant Public Defender Matthew Coders said Shelby had only released Robertson because she held the gun and suggested the shooting could be considered an act of self-defense. Jury selection was expected to finish Tuesday afternoon. Both parties will then proceed with their opening arguments. The trial is scheduled to continue through next Tuesday. Man accused of child sexual abuse. A Bloomington man accused of sexually abusing a child is in McLean County custody awaiting a hearing on 14 felony charges. Khalil C. Grismore, 24, is charged with the following: two counts of dissemination of child sexual abuse material, Class X felonies; five counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, Class 2 felonies; two counts of possession of child sexual abuse material, Class 3 felonies; four counts of possession of child sexual abuse material involving videos, Class 2 felonies; grooming, a Class 4 felony. An investigation began in March 2025 after a report was made to the Bloomington Police Department, according to a news release from the police. Detectives worked with the Children's Advocacy Center to conduct a forensic interview and ensure the proper services were provided to minors who reported the abuse, Bloomington police said. A McLean County grand jury indicted Grismore and a judge issued a full extradition warrant on February 13th. He was taken into custody without incident on Monday of this week. He was scheduled to appear in court Tuesday afternoon for a detention hearing to determine whether he will be detained or released pre-trial. Food Bank sets March distributions. Eastern Illinois Food Bank will distribute food to local families facing food insecurity in McLean, DeWitt, and Tazewell counties next month, sponsored by Compeer Financial. The DeWitt County distribution will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Tuesday, March 3rd at Waynesville Christian Church, 105 South 4th Street in Waynesville. Two McLean County distributions are planned on Monday, March 23rd from 10:15 to 11:15 at Christ Community Church, 406 West 7th Street in Gridley, and from 12:45 to 1:45 p.m. at Allen Township Library, 116 West Main Street in Stanford. The Tazewell County distribution will be 10 to 11 a.m. on Friday, March 27th at Northfield Christian Fellowship, 411 West North Street in Tremont. The distribution is part of Eastern Illinois Food Bank's Food Mobile program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to rural or underserved communities. Income guidelines do apply. You can visit eifoodbank.org/help/mobile.html for their full distribution schedule. Normal Hears Ethics Code Proposal. A proposed ethics code for Bloomington and Normal which was designed to help residents build public trust in their local leaders, was presented to the Normal Town Council on Monday. Ethics is a must for self-government because the word ethics means trustworthiness. And when trust dies, democracy dies, said Barbara Findlay Stewart, who was representing the Ethics Committee of Bloomington Normal. She told the council during the public comment portion of the council session. The committee includes several local civic leaders, including members of both councils. Normal City Manager Pam Reese said it's been years since an ethics proposal was brought before the council, and she will coordinate with Mayor Chris Coos about what steps to take next. Stewart, 97, said she wrote the McLean County Board's ethics code 40 years ago, and it became the first such code for local government in Illinois. The process took 5 years and 3 separate attempts, but since then, several municipal councils in Illinois have followed suit, including those in Carbondale, Decatur, Peoria, and Springfield, she said. Although such proposals are usually drafted in response to improper action, Stewart said the recommendations for Bloomington and Normal were created because trust helps prevent future offenses. The proposal for Bloomington and Normal calls for council members to follow a high standard of ethical behavior, including avoiding impersonal action that could result in a conflict of interest with municipal roles, refraining from accepting gifts and promises of future benefit, and treating all colleagues and public officials with respect. Council member Karen Smith said Stewart approached her to discuss the possibility of an ethics code for the council. Committee members met about once every quarter for the last 2 years and researched the topic from other communities. Healthy Families article for this week is written by Sarah Adig. Pet, older adults make good friends. Pets have always been part of my life, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love dogs. Dogs have been with me for as long as I can remember. I've lived with all sorts of breeds, several mixed breeds, a solid and stocky terrier, golden retrievers, and now 2 very large, very affectionate St. Bernards. While I've enjoyed so many things about my dogs over the years, the one constant has been how comforting their companionship is. Companionship is important for all of us. It involves those good feelings that come from being with someone else. Companionship is one piece of the broader puzzle of social connection. Social connectedness is vital to our emotional and physical well-being, and reflects the variety and depth of relationships in our lives. It's about feeling like we belong, knowing we have support, care, and meaningful interaction. But consider the implications of not having social connections with others. Dr. Vivek H. Murthy, the 19th and 21st Surgeon General of the United States, emphasized this in his 2023 report, Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation, stating that loneliness and isolation represent profound threats to our health and well-being. How much of a threat? Probably more than you think. Social isolation is highly detrimental to health. It is associated with increased risks of heart disease, stroke, dementia, depression, and anxiety. Research shows that individuals with poor social relationships face a higher risk of early death, comparable to the health risks of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So what does all this have to do with pets? For many people, owning or interacting with a pet offers numerous benefits, including improved physical health, reduced stress, and enhanced emotional well-being. Pets can reduce loneliness and depression, decrease feelings of isolation and anxiety, and increase one's sense of purpose. Cognitively, pets can provide mental stimulation and daily routine that supports brain health. However, it's important to recognize that these effects are not universal and not always purely casual. Owning a pet does not automatically lower blood pressure or guarantee reduced loneliness. Outcomes depend on many factors, including lifestyle, health status, social support, and the nature of the human-animal relationship. Research findings are mixed. Some studies report positive mental health effects, others show no change, and some indicate negative outcomes such as increased anxiety or financial strain. As the owner of two giant breed dogs, I can certainly speak to the financial strain my boys create. Are the costs hefty? Yes. Are they worth it? For me, absolutely. I don't have enough space here for a full discussion of all the factors older adults should consider when deciding whether a pet is right for them. But I will say this. There are meaningful alternatives to full-time pet ownership for those who are not able or do not wish to take on the responsibility. These options can still provide many of the social and emotional benefits of animal interaction. Can having a pet replace human interactions? The answer is clearly no. However, pets can be a piece of your connection puzzle. If you have a pet, consider this as a reminder that for all the care and love that you give them, your pet companion can also provide you with some important aspects for your health and well-being. As I think about it, my two canines deserve an extra treat and extra snuggle tonight. Shine Down to play Illinois State Fair. American rock band Shine Down will perform at the Illinois State Fair Grandstand Stage on Sunday, August 23rd. The band includes Brent Smith, Zach Myers, Eric Bass, and Barry Kirsch, and has more than 8.5 billion global streams, 24 number one hits, 15 platinum and gold singles, and platinum or gold certification for every album they've released to date, according to a news release from their organizers. Shine Down is known for songs such as Second Chance, Simple Man, and Sound of Madness, and has sold more than 10 million albums worldwide. Shine Down is one of the most successful and influential rock bands of our time, and we're excited to welcome them to the Illinois State Fair, said Jerry Costello II, Illinois Department of Agriculture director, in a news release. Their music connects with fans across generations, and their reputation for powerful live performances makes them a perfect addition to the 2026 concert lineup. Shinedown's most recent single, A Symptom of Being Human, from their seventh studio album, Planet Zero, has been streamed more than 125 million times, and the song charted on five radio formats, including number one on active rock and top 10 placements at alternative and adult contemporary. The band became the first artist in history to land a single in the top 10 active rock, alternative, and hot AC radio on MediaBase, the news release said. Bringing an act of Shinedown's caliber to the Illinois State Fair underscores our commitment to offering fans world-class entertainment, said Rebecca Clark, fair manager, in the release. They are known for their explosive live shows, and this performance is sure to be a highlight of the 2026 Illinois State Fair. Tickets will go on sale at 10 a.m. this Friday, February 19th, via Ticketmaster, ranging from $60 to $140. A $30 pre-show party ticket is available as an upgrade for all paid shows. The Illinois State Fair will run from August 13th through the 23rd at the fairgrounds in Springfield. Other headlining acts announced so far include Bailey Zimmerman on August 14th, Lainey Wilson on August 15th, Matchbox 20 on August 16th, and Ella Langley on August 21st. Bloomington's five-day forecast, it will be clearing and windy today with record-breaking temperatures. You can expect 6 to 10 hours of sunshine with relative humidity of 65% early, then 30% in the afternoon, and a high temperature of 66 degrees. It will be partly cloudy tonight with average relative humidity of 65% and a low temperature of 43 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, it will be breezy with heavy thunderstorms expected in the afternoon. Temperatures between 64 and 31 degrees. On Friday, it will be windy, cloudy, and cooler. Temperatures are expected between 42 and 24 degrees. On Saturday, it will be partly cloudy, partly sunny, breezy in the afternoon. The high temperature is expected to be 39 and the low 21 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy, continued windy. The high temperature will be 33 degrees and the low will be 16. Some important contact information from the pantograph. To place an ad, you can call 309-820-3357. For legal and public notices, call 309-820-3209. For obituaries, please call 309-820-3241. And for classified ads, 309-820-3357. You can also contact or access the pantograph online by visiting pantograph.com. I'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the pantograph for today, Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. Please stay tuned.